Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This is Catholic Baltimore. I'm Bob Krebs. Katie McKenna has written an inspirational new book titled How to Get Run Over by a Truck, and she's with us today from her home in New York City. Katie McKenna, welcome to Catholic Baltimore.
Thank you so much for having me, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Katie, we're going to be talking about your memoir that is fairly new, I believe. It's called How to Get Run Over by a Truck, which is an interesting title, and it actually happened to you. You were run over by a truck. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, please.
Yes, I live in Brooklyn, New York, and I am a professional fundraiser as well as a stand-up comedian. And I have also been writing this. I'm a writer. I also write articles, and I also write a blog called Small Bites and Little Victories.
As I said, your memoir, it's titled How to Get Run Over by a Truck. How in the world did you get run over by a truck?
Oh, my goodness, Bob. Well, it was a beautiful Tuesday morning in October, and I had gotten up early before my job to go for a bike ride, which is what I would either do a 10-mile bike ride or I do a 5-mile run in the mornings before work. Mm-hmm. And I'd gone out on this gorgeous ride. It was that wonderful time in early October. You know, it just starts to be fall and the leaves are starting to change, and it was crisp and beautiful. And the sun was just starting to rise over these low buildings in Williamsburg in Brooklyn where I lived. And I really wanted to see that sunrise, and I thought it was just going to be so special and so magical. And I went to this light and where I was going to make the right turn to watch the sunrise, and there was a truck on my left, and I waved to him, and I said, you know, I'm going to be making this right. There was a car behind me, and I waved to say that I was going to be making the right, and the car behind me saw me, but unfortunately, the truck didn't. So the truck didn't have its indicator on, so I assumed that it was going straight. But instead, it actually turned right. So I had made this wide right turn. And as I was turning, unfortunately, the truck was also turning, but still didn't see me. So I missed the cab of the truck, but I was run over by the back 8 wheels of the truck itself.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How can you even explain how that must have felt? Can you put that into words?
Oh, gosh. Yes. I'll do my best. I mean, that's the good thing about writing it, I guess. It allows that. But what had happened, it was just so incredibly terrifying. And in the moments, the thing that's fascinating is that in the first few moments, you don't feel any pain. Mm. I heard my bones cracking, and I saw and felt pressure, but my body didn't react with pain until, like, I'd say 15 or 20 seconds later. And it was as if there were relay races of electric, like, shocks of pain, sort of relatively similar to, you know, when you drop something on your foot and there's that feeling that you're like, oh my gosh, ow, ow, ow. Mm. It was like that, but it didn't dull. It just continued to race up and down my body.
And you didn't lose consciousness?
No, I didn't, which was, you know, a blessing and a curse, of course. In a way, it was a blessing because I was able to communicate with the people who were caring for me. Mm. I remembered my parents' phone number. I remembered what my address was. I knew my social security number. I was also able to, in a moment that is just incredible, that even blows me away. And if it wasn't me, I'd be like, no way. I knew that I had patients' rights, and I was really adamant about going to the best possible trauma hospital because the hospital that was closest to my apartment wasn't that great. So I said to the paramedics, I was like, you need to take me to the best trauma hospital. And they're like, in their minds, of course, they're like, you're going to die because it's too far away. And I said, I don't want close. I want good. Mm. So that was the great thing about being conscious. The bad thing is that, you know, it's something that the memory of that pain and the terror that it really does still instill to me this day, 9 years later, is so deeply rooted inside of my heart and my soul.
Yeah. You were terribly injured.
Yes, I was. I broke all of my ribs. I punctured my lung. I fractured my pelvis in 5 places. I tore up some internal organs, most specifically my bladder. And it was definitely a situation that I didn't think I would get out of alive, without a doubt. There was a moment where I was laying there and I was like, nobody gets run over by a truck and lives. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You have a rationale of being like, is it a good idea for me to be hopeful? Mm. And it was a very, very traumatic experience.
Did your life pass before your eyes? I mean, you hear things like that.
Yeah, that's such a great question. It actually didn't pass before my eyes. The only thing that I could think of, I did a lot of praying, obviously, and there were some moments where I did remember moments where I was afraid that I had sinned, you know, like the idea of sometimes like copying somebody else's homework or not being as nice as I could have been to a boy who had a crush on me in elementary school. And there wasn't any, like, I didn't have a flashback of all of the memories of my life. But I did have this moment as they were putting the oxygen mask on me to go into surgery where I had this feeling of I just wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that moment when you've eaten like a delicious meal, but you know that you just, like, you so desperately and deeply want more.
Yeah.
That was how it felt.
Yeah. It was a miracle that you survived.
Oh, Bob, it was absolutely a miracle. Yeah. There is no doubt in my mind that it was a miracle. The accident happened on October 2nd, which is the patron saint day of the guardian angel.
Yeah.
And I am absolutely sure that my angels were just holding fast to me and saved my life.
Katie, how did your Catholic faith help you get through this event? And I'm sure the healing and rehab process was long and difficult. Did your faith help you through that as well?
Bob, it was one of the most important parts of my entire experience, was my faith. That was what I did the entire time that I was on the ground and when I was in the ambulance. All that I did was say Hail Marys and Our Fathers. There was also this really incredible thing that happened, which was as I was lying on the ground on the gravel, there was a young woman who came out, the woman who was in the Mazda behind the car behind me.
Mm-hmm.
She had called the police and she called my parents and she was wonderful. And then out of nowhere, a man came out of his car. He pulled over and then he came out of his car. And I remember he was wearing a Yankees hat, a Madras shirt, and khaki cargo shorts. And he came over to where I was lying on the ground, and he said, listen to me. I'm the pastor. I've spoken to God, and you're not going to die today. And then without knowing what my faith was, he held my hand, and he held the hand of this woman, Giselle, and we said the Our Father. And it was the most at peace that I felt. I was like, this person is telling me that God is going to save me.
Hmm.
And I continued to hold on to that hope from this person who was the only person who believed that I would make it. Every other person, the EMTs, the doctors, they said I was probably not going to live. As time went on, I leaned very heavily on my faith to help me to get through those challenging times of just asking for God to give me strength, to give me hope, to help me to be a better person, to remember to be kind, to think of others, although I was in a bad place, and to be grateful. I think that that is such a beautiful part of our faith that sometimes I did not focus on as much before this had happened,
mm-hmm.
but this overwhelming feeling of gratitude was such a big part of my healing. It was so special and such an extreme blessing and feels like the greatest gift that I was given. By having this accident happen.
What do you want your readers to take away from this book?
I think that all of us have had a feeling in our lives where we feel like we've been run over by a truck.
Hmm.
You know, that there is one trauma in our lives we feel like takes our entire vertical world and just turns it horizontal. And in those moments, we have a choice. We can either lay down and say, there's nothing I can do to fix it. There's no way this is going to get better. or we can fight and work to try to make our lives better and happier degree by degree. What I want for readers to take away from this is that even in hopeless situations, even when you're told no, even when you feel broken, there's still hope if you're willing to fight.
You can get a copy of Katie McKenna's inspirational new book, How to Get Run Over by a Truck, at Amazon.com or your favorite chain or independent bookstore. Katie, do you have a website?
I update my website with events and readings and talks that I'm giving, and that's at www.katiecmckenna.com.
Katie McKenna, it's been a real delight talking to you today. You know, once again, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. It was a real delight. I really appreciate it.
For Catholic Baltimore, I'm Bob Krebs.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. If you haven't already, make sure you pick up the June edition of the Catholic Review, available in parishes now. On page 10, check out the sixth installment of our 2017 series, The Least of These. Inspired by Matthew 25, in which our Lord states, "What you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me," the Least of These series provides an in-depth look at the Catholic Church's response to those in dire need. In June, we look at victims of human trafficking, a major concern within the Baltimore Archdiocese, as Maryland is fourth in the U.S. in cases per capita. Meet the Samaritan Women, a Christian nonprofit organization for which the board leadership routinely includes a number of Catholics. One teenager being helped by the group, Pepper, and that's not her real name, says, "I get to be a kid here for once." Before she was trafficked, Pepper cared for her parents and older siblings, starting at age 8. Read about her, the Samaritan Women, and others who are fighting the hidden scourge of human trafficking in the Catholic Review. Also in the June print edition, check out our coverage of Monsignor Arthur Bastris's retirement on page 9. A Baltimore native whose father was president and general manager of the Maryland and Pennsylvania Railroad, Monsignor Bastris grew up at St. Bernardine Parish in West Baltimore. Although he has held a variety of pastorships and archdiocesan leadership positions over the 60 years of his active priesthood, he is best known for his most recent assignment, pastor of St. Alphonsus in downtown Baltimore, a parish that offers the Tridentine Latin Rite. Read more in the Catholic Review. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Eric Zygmunt.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, the Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have the Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at catholicreview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
You're listening to Catholic Baltimore. I'm Bob Krebs. Kristen Brown is an award-winning photographer and the creator of the Saints Project, a modern portrayal of Catholic saints. Kristen Brown is on the phone with us today from her studio in the Philadelphia area. Kristen, welcome to Catholic Baltimore.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here today. We're going to be talking about the Saints Project. Before we do, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Kristen Brown. I'm 31 years old. Born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Started photography when I was, six. My dad did it. And I just stuck with me all through my life. I moved out to LA when I was 22 and did a lot of photography work out there, headshots, models and stuff, but didn't really ever feel very satisfied or fulfilled by that. So I started to pray about how to use my photography to glorify God, and then Saints Project came to be about 2 years ago.
Yeah, tell us about the Saints Project. You know, first of all, what is it, and then how did it come about?
So the Saints Project is what I call it, a modern portrayal of Catholic saints. And I use digital photography and Photoshop and real people. So I photograph real people dressed as the saint that they're portraying. And then I use Photoshop to kind of blur the line between you thinking that you're looking at a photograph or looking at a painting or looking at something that might be a little bit more timeless. So yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, and how did you decide to do this, or how did it come about?
You know, it really was one of those sort of light bulb moments. Like I said, I was kind of struggling a lot with feeling fulfilled by photography. And so I was praying for about 5 years about how can I make this, you know, work for me and God at the same time. And so I was with my mom, and she had said something about St. Sebastian, and I just had this picture in my mind of St. Sebastian as a photograph being, you know, portrayed by a person, and but making it look like it was an image of St. Sebastian from the time that he existed. Yeah. And so then I started to look up and research whether or not it had been done before as like an ongoing series, and it hadn't. So yeah. I just started doing it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I guess for our listeners who haven't seen the photographs that are part of the Saints Project, I guess as a way of explanation, I guess when you first look at one of your beautiful photographs, it reminds you of a holy card. You know, it's got kind of got that dimension. And anybody who's you know, Catholic or raised Catholic will know what a holy card is.
It's right.
You know, and you did that consciously, correct? I mean,
yeah, it was definitely the style and everything of it was very intentional. And I wanted it to feel, you know, like it had a timeless feel. Like you weren't sure if it was a photo or a painting or when it had been made or, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it was all very intentional.
So you choose a saint and then you choose a model and then you choose like a setting or a background. Let's take it one at a time. How do you choose which saints that you're featuring in the Saints Project?
Well, in the beginning, it was just people that I already knew that I could see portraying a particular saint, and that they had some quality that they reminded me of this saint, or I had a saint in my mind that I really liked and was drawn to, and I wanted to find the right person for that.
Yeah.
And that's still pretty much the way that I do it. Like, I look at people and I imagine them as a certain saint. But then when I started doing, like, more series, like, kind of the Holy Family has, like, a series to it,
mm-hmm.
You know, that was just, I used the same people for that.
Sure. So give us some of the names of the saints that you are portraying in this series. Do you have a favorite saint?
I have a favorite, as far as the images go. There are some favorites, only because it's hard for me. I look at it from a very technical perspective.
Sure, yeah.
So I like the ones that I feel like I did technically well.
Yeah.
So St. Clair of Assisi is one of my favorites. I felt like the vision I had for it, it came through better than some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. I really do like the Holy Family images. And St. Joan of Arc was one of my favorite saints. And, of course, she still is. So I really like that image, too.
Yeah. So if you're walking through the mall and you see someone, you walk up to them and say, "Hey, you know, you would make a great Saint Joan of Arc." Does it work that way? Or?
Well, I'm kind of shy and not very extroverted, so I haven't done anything like that yet. It's more like I have approached people through the internet. Like that's actually how I discovered Marie Cahill, who portrays Mary, was on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know her before this, and I, you know, I had no connection to her. I saw a talk that she had done, a pro-life talk, and I was just blown away by the talk, but also her face just looked like Mary to me. And I had been looking for a new Mary after using a different girl for the World Meeting of Families. I wanted to start over with Mary and do it my way, kind of.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, seeking that out. And, yeah, so that was probably the funniest, most random way to approach someone about, yeah.
Are you adding to the project? Are you still involved in taking pictures, of the saints like this?
Oh yeah. This year I'm planning on doing 12 Apostles.
Ah.
So I'll be going out to Los Angeles to start shooting. I have, I think, 5 or 6 people out there, and then I'll finish up the other 6. Hopefully here or maybe somewhere else. I don't know where. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that one, because it's very, very specific, and I think that it's a way that the apostles haven't been shown yet. So yeah. I'm kind of excited about that one.
Do you research and look at the way maybe, let's say, St. John the Beloved was, uh-huh. If you look and see how he was portrayed in art and, paintings and that sort of thing, and then develop your image for your photograph that way, or is it totally different?
No, that is pretty much the way, yeah. I like to make sure that, especially with the apostles, it'll be more difficult because they all look pretty similar. And they're all portrayed, for the most part, throughout the history of art, that they're very old, in a lot of the images.
Sure.
But in my series, they're going to be young, and it's going to be as if they were during the time that they were with Christ. So those mm-hmm. few years that they were traveling with him and partaking in his ministry. So they're going to be portrayed a little bit younger. But yes, I still reference a lot of other art images to yeah. make sure that I'm getting some symbolism. If there's a technique, like a specific color that they wear for some reason that means something, the way they wear their hair, something that they're holding or carrying, all of that stuff I definitely take into account, yeah.
Yeah. What do you want people to take away from the project? When people look online at these photographs or they purchase them in their homes, what is it that you want them to feel?
I want people, hopefully, to feel that the saints are two things, relatable, that they're human beings, and they accomplished incredible things with their lives and devoted themselves to God, and that they're real. And, through the images of looking at a person, you might be able to more closely relate those two things, that was a real person. And also that they themselves can become a saint, And
sure.
And to be inspired by the story. And also the way that they're made, the images are done in a way, I hope, that that is kind of a current and modern look, so that people feel, especially young people, they can look at them and feel like it's something that they can relate to.
Yeah. What reactions have you gotten from the public about the project?
Mostly really, really positive feedback. People have been really supportive and encouraging. It's really sweet and overwhelming, and I'm very grateful for it, yeah.
We discussed before we began this interview off the air, we talked about how it might be difficult for you and I talking here in this format to describe accurately the beauty of your photographs, because they are works of art. But I guess the best bet is for people to go online and check them out. How can our listeners do that? How can they see these beautiful photographs?
I have a website. It's called thesaintsproject.org. That's probably the best place that you can go, the most kind of comprehensive. If everything is there, you can look through all of the images. It's linked to an Etsy page if you were interested in buying a print.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why I put everything up on there.
That website, once again, is thesaintsproject.org. Kristen Brown, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Baltimore.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
For Catholic Baltimore, I'm Bob Krebs.
For 143 years, New Cathedral Cemetery has served the needs of the Catholic community of Baltimore and Central Maryland. New Cathedral is the only cemetery owned by the Archdiocese of Baltimore and is the final resting place for many religious orders and famous citizens. 125 acres of rolling hills, trees, and beautiful monuments, the cemetery is an oasis of peace and tranquility and is located off Edmondson Avenue just outside of Catonsville. New Cathedral is dedicated to the task of tending to the mortal remains of our dearly departed and has many more years of available space. If you are in need of a burial site, vault, monument, or marker, or just a respectful location to place your cremated loved ones, our counselors will help you through this process and make sure the wishes of you and your loved ones are honored. Visit us online at newcathedralcemetery.org, like us on Facebook at New Cathedral Cemetery Bonnie Bray, or call 410-566-7770.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.